Menno Simons said this about Anabaptists. Regeneration is not the result of baptism, but baptism is the result of regeneration. Menno Simons is the person who truly brought forward the necessity to think about making the decision as an adult to follow Jesus here in the States. So his Camp Mennoland is actually named after Menno Simons. Getting back to this word regeneration, a simple definition would be to replace or restore damaged or missing cells, tissues, organs, or even entire body parts to full function. Regeneration. Spiritually, regeneration is God bringing a person to new life, being born again from a previous state of separation from God. Regeneration. You see, faith comes first. Regeneration is being born again into a new life. It is us looking more and more like Jesus. It is us feeling closer and closer to Jesus. I remember Matt sharing, "I feel like I'm doing God's work when I'm mowing the yard." Who would think that? Who would think that could happen? But it did, right? Revival, resurgence, rebirth, reconnection, renewal, resurrection, revitalization, rejuvenation, all words for regeneration. It is hearing God's word that leads us to reconnection. And I pray this morning will be a time of good regeneration and a good revival time as we dwell here in the house of the Lord together. This morning we're going to be going through Nehemiah 8, 1 through 10, if you wanted to find that in your Bibles. I'm going to share a little bit before we jump into the Word. Nehemiah 8, 1 through 10. There are names in verse 4 and verse 7 that I'm not going to try to pronounce and share with you, because I stumble over my words when I try to pronounce those names. But they're the names of the people who were asked to gather there so that they could in turn tell the people what was being shared. So we are going to recognize that at this time, the people, God's people, had been separated from one another for a very long time. And they were coming together for the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were realizing their sinful ways as they joined together as a larger group. It became a truly emotional gathering time. You see, the wall around Jerusalem had been rebuilt. Ezra was then asked to read the Torah as the people realized how far away they had fallen from God. They knew they needed to get back to God. Ezra stood up on a wooden pulpit and he began to share. And when he was speaking, he was sharing in Hebrew. But many of those who had gathered were now only speaking in Aramaic, which was their secular language. So Ezra was sure to have people within the crowd translating so that everyone could understand. You see, where God's word is communicating, there is God. How blessed we truly are, because God did not have to give us his word, but he did. And we are blessed. My sermon this morning is titled, God Welcomes the Prayer of a Humble Heart. Let us pray together. Father God, may the light of your truth shine on every part of our lives today. Let us fully acknowledge God's glory as revealed in creation. Together we praise you for the perfection and the truth of your word. We hold it in our hands this morning, Lord. And we ask that your words and your thoughts and your words, our words and our thoughts be aligned with your will. We give thanks that you are our refuge and our Savior. In your precious name, amen. As I watched the news this week, I found myself thinking and even saying out loud, oh Lord, please be with them. Those that were affected by the terrible airplane crashes. Even just watching the arguments of the government going back and forth, and having that on TV, you know, I just, oh Lord, please be with them. Let's get into Nehemiah. verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. All of the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square from the water gate to the presence, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. The following people were the people who were invited who were encouraged to translate the word for the community, and it shares who was on the right side of him. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites were there, standing amongst the people as well. Verse 8, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. And then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the Lord." And Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send home to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. There was a need for restoration and instruction for the people of the time. And God recognized that need during this time in Nehemiah's life as well. All the people, not just the leaders, met at the water's gate, an open area near the temple, near the water source of the community, an area for cleansing, a symbolic place for purification and life. It symbolized a need to meet in person and to live by the word of God. How important is it that we meet in person on Sunday mornings? Very important. We need to hear his word. We need to surround ourselves with other believers. Hearing the word of God would cleanse their thoughts, renew their thinking, and renew their lives. The people had the opportunity to draw nearer to God. That's a gift. They got to experience his presence and find joy in a unique way. I often feel the Spirit moving in this church before I come up to share. We are near God and he is with us. Being away from each other and not hearing the word of the Torah led them to become more secularized. This was an emotional time, as they did truly recognize their sinful ways while listening to the word of God. I think the poor were getting poorer and the rich were getting richer, and they were forgetting to take care of others who had less than them. People were suffering. Believers were growing spiritually at that time, and their faith was being rebuilt before everyone. The Spirit of God was at work right in front of their eyes. Good things were happening, and good things were going to happen in the future. This is a conversion story. I'm coming back to you, Lord. I'm here. I hear your words. I understand your words. I will live by your words. I found an article called Coming Back to God After Drifting Away. It doesn't have the author's name, so forgive me, but I'm going to share it anyway, bits and pieces of it. Remember when you first came to God? The excitement, the understanding, right? There was this joy within us. Remember when we woke up one morning and we thought, oh, I can't do this. What's happening? You haven't picked up your Bible in weeks. You rarely pray. Sometimes your prayers feel shallow. You start to feel anxious all the time and overwhelmed by all these spiritual things. Well, as a baby Christian, we were excited and full of love for the Lord, and we read the Bible every day, and we prayed every day, and we told somebody about our relationship with Christ, and everything looked new and wonderful, and hope was alive in our hearts. You never felt so transformed by a life of misery to a life of wholeness in Christ until that day that you accepted him as your Savior. And then suddenly, what happened? There was a change. Why is the love that you once felt so far away? But there is a way back. That's what people need to understand and to know in their minds and hearts. Coming back to God is possible, and drifting away is not a final place for you to stand. The Christ in your heart lives there still, and he promises for you that he will never leave. For there are clear paths to restoring your love with Christ. Drifting is a season that you can recover from, and you can always get back on course. Drifting away from God happens so slightly that we hardly notice it until that morning when we are so off course and we're so wondering what to do next. We're like a ship drifting in the ocean. And that happens. Not sure why those drifts can pull us further and further off the course of a life with Jesus. But that means you're on your journey to coming back to God and getting reconnected with him. Guilt and shame are like handcuffs to the old life that you left behind. They are familiar friends from a past life of sin and not a part of your new life in Christ. They try to tell you that returning to God is impossible, but those are lies and it is the past speaking. Excuse me. God watched you, each of you, come to him, and he watches you drift away. He knew that you would. We're human. We're in a difficult world. You only need to remember that you belong to him, and nothing, nothing ever falls out of his hand or escapes from him. He is calling out to you every day in so many ways. Tune in, be aware. Nothing in this life will stop him from pursuing you, and he will not give up on you. You are his loved one. He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants you to know this from his word. If you look at Ephesians 3, verses 17 and 18, Ephesians 3, 17 and 18, I pray that you be rooted and established in love. Grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ. He wants you to know how much he loves you. Not because of who you are or what you've done. He loves you totally and completely because of who he is. You looked away from him and the world. You looked at your insecurities, you looked at your failures, you looked at your shortcomings, and you moved away from him. But he's not letting you go. He is not letting you go. Trust his love for you again without the guilt and shame. He died for all of that. And there is nothing to feel shame or guilt over. He is calling your name, each one of you. He He has you in his hands. Coming back to God is possible. You are established in love with him. That's what was going on at that meeting. They were hearing his word. They were understanding they were forgiven. They were recognizing the need to be together with people. They were recognizing the need to share of his love. In that moment, Ezra, a priest and scribe, and Nehemiah, a governor with political power, were present for the renewal of the community through God. From Nehemiah's secular office, he helped bring back a focus on God. Something that we can pray for, right? That people in government offices pray that God comes back into our world. God is part of our decisions. There was a renewal of faith that day. By grace, they had been saved through faith. The word shared pointed to salvation. And God's promises were fully understood. The people were encouraged to celebrate with others and to share with others. And they did. They took their food from that day and they gave it to those who brought none or who had none. Whew. We can talk about food, the need of food. We can talk about those who are living in fear. We can talk about those who are lonely. These are things that we can do. Share our food, share our time, share our prayers with others. Having a right relationship with God means that we are forgiven. Joy can be found even in difficult times, and that's hard. But joy can be found in difficult times as believers find strength in the Lord. I hope Trudy doesn't mind, but I'd like to share that someone in Allentown is wearing one of her husband's jackets, and that's what Trudy was praying for, right? That one of Tony's or all of his clothing would go to those less fortunate. And she, very rarely do we get feedback from the clothing that we share, but she got feedback that Tony's jacket is helping someone to stay warm on the streets. Joy can be found at difficult times. And we should continue to seek refuge during difficult times. Be here at church. Don't think I can't do it. I'm too tired. I'm not going to church. Be here at church where we can surround you with love and prayer. Seek refuge in God's house. Seek refuge with Jesus' love. Author David Henschel writes, "Someone who truly grasps the joy of knowing and treasuring God above all else becomes a remarkably strong individual." Don't think of yourself as meek and mild. You are God's remarkably strong child. Meet God in his word. Learn to further appreciate God's majesty and awe by reading and studying his word. God welcomes the prayer of the humble heart. We are to ask for guidance to be led to Scripture for our specific needs. Turning to Scripture daily allows us to personalize it, allows it to let us sink into our hearts and sink into our minds. So the next time we need it, we'll have it right away. Where do we need to be in God's Word? Where should we be reading? Wisdom of the law of the Lord offers wisdom for living in God's creation. His laws have been gifted to us. Pray for joy in the Lord. Know that one individual can make a significant impact on some. One individual can make a significant impact on many. Nehemiah and Ezra had an impact on a whole nation for thousands of years to come. What they did and how they shared is still being shared with believers. People notice those who act and speak like Jesus. Not perfect, but trying our best to to act and speak like Jesus. And God uses his many people in many ways. How's he using you? Have you asked him to use you? I'm sure Karis was hugging her coworkers and showing them empathy. She was being Jesus to them. When my mother asks me to do one more thing, I smile and say, okay. Or I need to say, in a minute I will. I'm asking God to work through me so that mom sees Jesus. Humbly pray and ask that he use you to glorify the ways of the Lord. I've asked some readers to share with us, if everyone would turn to Psalm 19, we are going to read verse 14 together, but I've asked various people to share from Psalm 19. If we're all there. Jeff, would you begin to share?
Yep. For the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun.
The downstairs door. Matt?
Yep. Psalm 19:5. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. He rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. These precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes.
Linda.
Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them the children is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And let's read Psalm 19:14 all together.
May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. A woman named Brenda Nye took Psalm 19 and put it into a prayer. It is the prayer that I shared with you last week. I'd like to finish with Brianna's prayer. Let us pray. Give me a love for your word, O Lord. I know your word is the spirit of Christ, and it is my very weapon against the enemy. I know that without the foundation of your word, I will fall into deception. Protect me from lies, O Lord. Protect me by your holy word. Faith comes hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May my shield of faith be strengthened by hearing and reading your word. Give me a good routine for reading your word. Fill my eyes with the light of your truth. I rebuke Satan's tactics for trying to keep me out of God's word. May my life reflect your life, O Lord. May my word and life match your word and life. Lord Jesus, I love you, we love you, and we praise your holy name. Fill us with your Spirit that we can live for you. In your precious name, amen.